Welcome to CPA Practice Advisors Tech to Go podcast series, a fast-paced roundtable discussion with executive editor Darren Root and regular columnists. These thought leaders tackle issues impacting the tax and accounting profession.
This is Darren Root, executive editor of CPA Practice Advisor, coming to you with episode 59 of Tech to Go. I'm here today with my regular co-host, Randy Johnston, who's executive vice president at K2 Enterprises, as well as Network Management Group Incorporated in Hutchinson, Kansas. So welcome, Randy.
Well, thank you, Darren, and good day to all of our listeners around the country.
I had the great pleasure recently to visit Hutchinson, Kansas, and stay in your wonderful Hampton Inn and see the tornadoes come through.
Well, and I do feel bad for all the people that wound up in the aftermath of those storms. And unfortunately, you were probably in one of the nicer hotels in town. And it's I think it was only the third time on record we had tornadoes in February. You know, that tornado thing is a Dorothy thing. We don't really have that many tornadoes in Kansas, but that's about as close as I've been to one in years.
You know, we have we had them hit in a major way about 45 minutes south of me, and really destroyed multiple communities. So they were pretty severe here, and I can't remember a tornado in February or March in Indiana for sure. We don't get that many anyway, but to have them so severe this time of year was pretty crazy.
Well, and you saw how violent the weather was when it was here and then moved across to your space. So, yeah, I talked to Dr. Bob from our team and the effects in Kentucky and obviously the ones you're naming in Indiana. It's a tough deal. And, again, my heart goes out to all those people. Unfortunately, it's a reminder that we've got to have our business continuity plans in place. It's not a topic of today's conversation, but so much of the time I'm concerned about how we keep our lives together and our businesses together in a major disaster like that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So, well, today, I think, Randy, we're in the midst of tax season, so most of our listeners will be listening to this as they wrap up tax season. You know, the thing that I think we want to talk about today is a little bit of tax workflow. But really what I want to visit is the different tax workflow products that are out there, kind of where they position themselves, and then, you know, kind of where we see maybe this tax workflow business heading over the next few years. Does that sound fair enough?
It really does sound like a smart thing, because I think our firms that are listening need to think about their strategies. Now they're, well, tax season is fresh in mind. How can we improve the experience? Because, yes, major storms are disruptive in a big way, but, you know, this day-to-day thing that we have to do, if we can make that better, that's good for our clients. And unfortunately, I haven't seen a lot of notable change in the recent year or so, and I don't expect big notable change in the next year or so, although there's still a lot of discussion around automated filling of tax forms and some other issues. So I understand that you're using SurePrep with some pretty good success this season. Darren, how is that working out for you?
You know, it's working great. I'll give you a little bit more on that in a second, but if I look back at most firms, Randy, and you're in an awful lot of firms, and most firms I see are still fairly antiquated in their way that they approach a 1040. It's not a lot different than it was, you know, 20 years ago. Clients are bringing in organizers with their source data in paper. They're having a return process. We may be reviewing returns on screen now, but then we're printing paper copies and we're e-filing now, so that's a little bit different, I guess, for some firms. But other than that, it hasn't changed a lot for many, many firms in the country. The progressive firms, though, I believe, are the ones who are adopting some of these workflow products. And we could break those into a couple of different camps, you know, this whole idea of scan and organize. And then there's this other idea of populating tax software. We're not in the populating tax software camp quite yet, but we're using SurePrep, Randy, to when documents come in our office, and I'm going to back up just a little bit. We're actually trying to get documents digitally from the clients to start with through online portals. So we put all of our organizers in portals again this year, with the idea that we want our clients to go to our portals early, scan their documents in as well, and upload those, as opposed to bringing paper. But for those who are bringing paper in, you know, we still take that, much like cash, right? But we're scanning all that stuff in up front, sending it to SurePrep, getting it sorted and organized. And SurePrep has a really nice tool called SP Binder. It's sort of a, I like to call it an engagement light kind of tool, you know, an engagement product kind of tool for just 1040 type business. So that's worked well for us. We're scanning up front. We're using that tool as an organizing tool. And then we're actually sending the final product, the final PDF, back to our client portals with the idea at some point we'd like to not keep source documents or not give source documents back anymore, but hopefully be able to shred those and just allow our clients to have a digital copy of their source documents, much like we get our bank statements now. Does that make any sense to you?
Well, it makes a great deal of sense to me. You know, the good news is most of my business returns are done at this point. And as I've switched over for my own personal return, I'm hoping it'll be less than 100 pages when completed this year. And I continue to be appalled, and I almost hate to say it like this for the public, but I'm appalled at the methodology that my CPA firm uses because it is so paper-centric. And I could do so much to help them drive costs out of doing my tax return. And frankly, I think it would be more accurate. I'd be happy to provide everything electronically, but this particular firm demands everything in paper. And it's even worse because internally, I know that they're printing forms out and reviewing them on paper in the firm, not even doing on-screen review. So the costs have to be out of control for this particular organization. And it's interesting that the partners don't seem to want to change, and I think it's costing them money and time, making them work a lot harder than they need to.
You know, there's a lot of our staff, certainly our professional staff, are on salary in our firm, and I suspect in the firm that you use as well, Randy. So we either, you know, are going to get a lot, we're either going to make them work a lot more hours. If we were using that, the methodology you're referring to, Randy, I think they would either work a lot more hours for a lower number of returns that could be done, or they could work fewer hours and get all the returns done if they're in a more efficient environment. So those are some of the trade-offs that we're looking at. Or if they did work that much, we could get a lot more productivity if using the technology in a better sense.
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, when you think about the tools that are out there, if you think about the 1040 work paper tools, and I'll just throw the names out because, you know, I'm familiar with all these as you are too, whether it's SurePrep or CCH Scan, or whether it's the TaxSort product, or whether it's Copanion's GruntWorks, and there's a few more. All of those products can really help on the 1040 side. But then if we also support it with workflow products, products like an XCM or the workflow that you use inside Practice CS or FirmFlow or CCH's Workstream, some of these type of tools that help us move these things through. And as you've mentioned, you know, you're not really to the point that you're trying to do 1040 work paper extraction of data. A simple markup tool is helping you there. And, you know, we can go to a very simple tool like the TickTie Calculate tool for annotating the binders or the PD Flyer from CCH to annotate the binders. But when we flip it over then to the business side of the world, trying to pull those business returns through a trial balance and an engagement manager so you can, you know, import that into the tax return and calculate from there. You know, again, having watched my compilation done manually again this year, I was just appalled because it's like, I've got everything for you, complete balance, trial balance, everything's spot on. All you really have to do is export this data, you know, import it, and you're done. Why are we going through all this keying process and burning so many internal hours unnecessarily?
So what do you think it is that's whole? I mean, there are so many tools, Randy. I mean, portals, workflow tools, work paper tools, you know, great scanning tools. What's holding firms back today?
Well, from the firms that I've been in, as you mentioned, I go in CPA firms very frequently to analyze, and I'm thinking of the last half dozen or so that I was in. Every one of those firms had a lack of processes, a lack of education, and in many cases, a lack of commitment from the partners to work on the firm to really improve the processes. And they really considered this learning expense and the tool acquisition cost to be more than what they could make. And when we started running the numbers and looking at the amount of time savings in any particular return and the volume of returns that they were doing, it was pretty obvious in every one of those cases that the firm could work less hard and make more money if they would invest in the tools and invest in the training to make this all come to be. But as you know, change is hard and change takes work. And you can't do it at the last minute. There was probably lack of planning to make the change happen as well.
There's also a component of education that we need to be able to educate our clients on the new workflow a little bit as well. I think about how I like to work with my attorney. I have no desire to go to his office. If he needs something from me or my insurance agent or whatever, I mean, I had some forms that I signed the other day for my insurance agent. I didn't want to drive out to their office and sign forms. we're all too busy for that anymore. I wanted to be able to digitally sign those and give those to them securely or physically sign them and give them to them securely. But I didn't want to drive to their office. And yet in the accounting profession, we still have so many practitioners who are, you know, trying to to hold on to that old methodology so tightly. And yet I don't think our customers really want that. What do you?
No, I am quite convinced most business owners don't want that. And when I consider some of the additional tools that we haven't mentioned yet that I think can help practitioners save time, let's pick on one by name, the New River Innovation folks with their Beyond 415 product, a product to handle tax notices more effectively and with less time. A very interesting paperless notice system. Or I think about security products like I'll pick on RPost, where we can do digital signatures and confirm delivery. Those tools, I think, are as good as physical paper mail in terms of, you know, complying with the law and being there. And I think the IRS will get us to the point that this paperless digital signature sign-off, and we'll just pick on an 8879 as an example, will become a reality to us fairly shortly. The business owners, the individuals, they don't want to be messing with the paper in general. And if you're forcing clients into a paper position, kind of like I've been forced this year, the clients are getting more and more aggravated with the waste of time and waste of resources to do it that way.
So I'll kind of articulate what our process has been, Randy, this year. Punch some holes in it, if you will. We did organizers January 2nd or so. We put all those electronically into portals for, I want to say, 98% of our clients. And if we do 1,000 returns, we may have printed 20 physical organizers for some elderly people that we didn't have emails on. Everybody else has went into a portal. At the same time, in a portal, we had the ability for a document exchange, so a client could scan, upload that information if they so chose to, or they could still drop it off at our office. To date, we've done about 150 returns so far. I'm going to say about 50 of them have been completely digital on the front end. Maybe 100 have still dropped paper by our office or sent it in. At that point, we're preparing returns. We're getting the documents, whether they came in digitally or in paper, into SurePrep. We're working through the documents digitally, preparing a return, reviewing on screen, creating our invoice digitally at that point. And our administrative person then is emailing the client saying, hey, your return's all done. You can log into the portal. Here's your digital invoice. If everything looks great, sign the 8879, scan it, and load it back up into the portal or drop it by our office. We've put 100% of business returns digital only, no printed copies. We've done, I want to say, at least 95% of the 150 have been completely done in a portal, no paper copy going out. And that's been our process so far. But, you know, we've been working on our clients for the last few years to get them used to this idea of not expecting a lot of paper flowing around. And they're buying into it. And I think it's saving us a lot of time and increasing client satisfaction.
Yeah, I think those are probable outcomes. Notice, though, three or four observations. First, you've been working on the culture of paperless. Now, 15 and 20 years ago, when we were first teaching people how to do paperless, notice 15 and 20 years ago, teaching people to do paperless, we spent a lot of time working on the culture issue. Getting people to think digitally, to think paperless, is a pretty big thing. And it takes a while to teach your clients that. 2, 3, 4 years is the culture transition that we used to suggest for internal to a CPA firm, and you've got a few years with your clients. So it might be a 3 to 5 year transition. Number two, your basic process sounds right, and I think it's marvelous that you teach so many firms your processes. But a couple of stumbling blocks to clients still include the paper that we receive. So if you think about paper 1099s and 98s and K1s and so forth, yeah. And if I am not a super literate technology user, I happen to be, but many are not, we may not have the easy way to convert those forms and deliver them to you electronic as an individual. From a business perspective, most of the times we've got that capability, but as individuals, maybe not quite so much. That's one place where I do admire what Intuit has been doing with their Lacert and ProSeries shops, where they're trying to be an electronic clearinghouse for a lot of the W-2s, 1099s, and K-1s, and so forth. So I get that, and that's a nice piece. I think the other side of it is the actual delivery and sign-off on the 8879. Mm-hmm. What a pain it is to me as a client that you get the tax return to me and maybe send me an 8879, but I've got to physically sign off and get it back to your office. And again, if I don't have a scanner, a problem. And there are some who believe that, a scanned 8879 is not compliant. I'm not sure I agree with that interpretation. But if your firm's in the position saying, oh, no, you've got to have a liquid ink signature for this to be valid, you've just broken the process on the personal tax return side there. The good news is a whole lot of the electronic filing is getting more broad spread at the state level. I think the exceptions are becoming more and more out of the ordinary. And frankly, the good news is most CPA firms, because they've been forced into e-filing in some cases and because they found it more cost-effective, have been doing that without maybe a premium charge, which has led clients to do more of the e-filing. But I still, to a degree, as an individual, have to get an electronic copy somehow. And if you're not working with a portal like you are, you're trying to send those things back and forth in email, I consider that a pretty high risk. Yeah. So I think the deal here is we've got a whole lot of parts that have to get put together to make this work, and very few vendors help us assemble all those parts. We kind of have to do it on our own yet.
I believe you're right. There are, vendors are working towards that, but they don't have, even the major vendors don't have all the pieces and parts. Two of the things you said, Randy, that I find are still big holes that need to be filled is what you said. Intuit's working towards this electronic collection of data where eventually maybe in my portal my client could sign up to have their W-2 digitally delivered or their 1099 or their K-1s, so we get those electronically. I'm kind of encouraged about where that might be going, but I think we're a ways off on that still. And then the other that I hope is closer is the digital signing of the 8879. We worked really hard in RootWorks this year just trying to understand what the IRS was requiring as it related to the 8879 and digital signatures, and it appears to me that what has to happen today is a client can digitally sign one as long as they're present in front of the firm and they're signing it on a pad, a digital pad, is kind of the way the rule seems to read at this point. We don't worry about keeping paper copies of 8879. We certainly keep those digitally. And as you mentioned, a lot of firms do that differently. But boy, when we can get that 8879 signed digitally, So, you know, as soon as a return is done, a client could view it on, you know, on their iPad, which, you know, we have a big announcement coming out today, actually related to iPads, but on their iPad or some mobile device, digitally sign that, and then they're done. That makes it a much less painful process for our clients to get something done that, you know, they don't necessarily want to do to start with.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if we can, and you are right, the vendors are making good progress, but it's still not quite all available from a single vendor, just like you're using SurePrep for your needs because it seems to fit a little bit better. And, you know, we've seen a little bit of a shift this year with CCH Scan being hosted, making that product a little easier to implement and so forth. But, again, the pieces are just not quite tied together. And this digital signature piece, it's got to work easy to an end user where they don't really have to think about it very much. And frankly, I haven't seen anything that's particularly easy in that line. So, you know, until we can come up with a nice formula that takes those rough edges off, we're still going to have some stumbling blocks. You know, I'm getting a little distracted as we're discussing this because, you know, I'm thinking about the tax notice piece where the IRS is going to get so much more aggressive this year than they have been in prior years. So, you know, current estimates is as many as 20% of returns are expected to be noticed this year, trying to get more revenue complied with. And, you know, if the firms in the off-tax season are trying to handle tax notices in the traditional way and they're not communicating to the client on the front end, look, you know, we're going to get a tax notice on you, and if they're not selling premiums, you know, tax notice insurance, if you will, having that discussion with the client, saying, look, you know, tax notices, that's not included in your fee, and here's about what it should be. We've got to be able to control the labor on the tax notices as well, and so I'm hopeful that Beyond 415 will help, you know, our firms this year on that part of the paper process as well.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, because there's an expectation in a lot of firms with their clients that, you know, these notices, you don't, it's hard to charge for many of them, even though it's not the firm's fault. You know, the IRS is being more aggressive. The state of Indiana, in my state, has been incredibly aggressive, but, you know, if there's this, you know, if the client expectation is, hey, you did something wrong, you know, and that's why I have a notice, there's not an expectation that I'm going to, you know, they're going to get a bill for it. And that presents challenges for firms.
Absolutely. So. And you're absolutely right. Kansas is equally aggressive, and we could name some other places too. Now, one other little distraction, and I hope this isn't going to tip both of our hands, and we shouldn't, but I'm musing over our discussion a week ago that both of us have Mint personally, don't really like it and don't really use it because it doesn't fulfill our needs. And if you think about people keeping their personal books in Mint or Quicken or whatever they happen to use, and firms being able to get that personal data classifications, if you will, that way, that process has got to be a little simpler too. You know, I know in preparing my own information for my CPA to do the tax return, the classifications that I kept saved me a lot of time, and I felt bad for my son who didn't understand the process very well yet and said, you mean I've got to go back and classify all these things? And it's like, yeah, you kind of have to this year because you qualify for a lot more things. And it was like, well, so that's why you tried to get me to do that. And I said, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't teach you well enough. But, you know, if you understand business owners and individuals who frankly don't understand accounting very well and are trying to do the right thing but don't know how to do the right thing, we as CPA firms also have to reach out a little bit more and teach them more with collaborative accounting, both on a business and a personal level. And I think that's an opportunity for us in the coming year as well.
Well, it's probably time for us to wrap up. I'm going to wrap up with this, Randy. It's a great time, I think, to be an accountant. You know, I've been around the profession for 25 years plus as of you, and I can't think of a time that I would have rather practiced more than I would today, given the technology and the solutions that are available and that continue to come out.
And, you know, I do agree, having watched this evolve and helped it evolve in some cases over the last 5, 10, 15 years and more, it would be a real fun time to start a firm doing everything in the new way.
Yeah.
And you know, if you were being a startup accountant, what a wonderful time to do to build a business that would be superb. And for all of our listeners who have been practicing for a long time, there's no reason why you can't take your firm to that new place. I'm going to steal your line here, become a firm of the future, if you will, and
yeah.
really start thinking about a better way to practice that costs you less time, gives higher client satisfaction, and I think everybody wins in that formula, and the time to do that building is right now.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Randy, great talking to you today. Great topic. Hopefully we can get more and more firms encouraged and engaged in building that sort of next generation accounting firm. So, I know you have a busy week coming up, so best of luck to you, and I'll probably see you soon.
We will see each other soon, and best of luck to all of our listeners as they finish up the tax season or plan for the future ones. Until
Great.
Next time.
Thanks, Randy.
For more info on the CPA Practice Advisor programs and our e-newsletter, visit cpapracticeadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 1-800-456-0864, extension 2107, or tune into future episodes where you'll be able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.